All right, and welcome back. Live music here in the studio this week, Michelle Canning and her banjo. All right. You want to play another live one?
Sure. We'll do, we were talking earlier about the song Rough Edges, so I'll do that one for you. How's that?
Sounds great. Michelle Canning, once again, and Rough Edges. Nice, nice, nice.
Thank you.
So you're kind of a rare bird as far as being a banjo player who sings.
Yeah?
Sings leads a lot.
Well, I really enjoy doing it. It's something that I guess I hadn't ever really thought much about when I was a kid and playing. I wanted to sing too, so I did. And I really didn't think much about whether or not that would be easy to do, or whether or not that was even common to do. Until I got older and everyone was like, wow, you play and sing at the same time. And I guess it's just something that I assumed I had to do because, you know, mostly lead singers play guitar or something. And so you see them playing while they sing. And so I figured if I was going to sing, I had to play while I sang.
Yeah, I'm racking my brain here trying to think about others who do that just as a normal thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not thinking of any.
Yeah.
Any come to mind for you?
Well, I know a lot of people who can do it. I don't know a whole lot of people who do it. But I know Raymond McLean is great at it, but he doesn't do it too often because he normally plays with a single mic. So when you go up to the mic, your banjo gets really loud. So it kind of makes sense to stop playing for a minute and sing.
Well, outside of bluegrass, I mean, a lot of people do play claw hammer or whatever.
Yep.
But I guess bluegrass banjo is just a little more technical to remember what you're doing and sing at the same time. But yeah, you do it very well.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely. All right. Well, trying to think of what we haven't talked about yet. Maybe we should just play another one from the CD.
Sure, we can do that.
And we'll talk about what we could do next.
All right. Let's see. There's a song on there called High Above the Mountains. It's a song that I had written actually on an airplane, hence High Above the Mountains. But I wrote that song, maybe 3 or 4 years ago now, and I was honored to have Becky Alfrey, one of my classmates, sing on it with me, and also Ruth McLean from the McLean Family Band as well, Raymond's sister. And she's a fantastic vocalist, and so the two of them are singing harmony on the song with me, and it's a whole lot of fun. It's one I wrote called High Above the Mountains.
All right.
Don't you tell me that it hurt you that day, that you just lost all the feelings you had. You're sorry that it all ended this way, that you never meant to make me feel bad. But then you picked me up off my feet, fly like a bird. You stole away with my heart, then away we soared, and you carried me high above the mountains, and you carried me over all the seas. Then you took me high above why'd you lie about why you left? You say that we just weren't meant to be, but for me you always want the best. Even among the darkest clouds, one sees birds in the sky. So don't ever think that I was blind when you took her to fly.
Michelle Canning and High Above the Mountains. And speaking of High Above the Mountains, you just flew back here the other day from Hawaii.
It was pretty awesome. I bought a ukulele while I was there.
Did you?
I did. It was made in Hawaii from a Hawaiian luthier, and I'm sorry to say I don't remember his name, but it was all koa wood, which is absolutely amazing. I love playing koa instruments. And actually, the fret markers are made from Hawaiian sand, which is pretty cool.
From sand?
Yes.
How do you do that?
I'm not really sure, but if you look at it, you know, where there's normally mother of pearl, you can see the sand grains. It's pretty cool.
So they just sort of glue a bunch of grains together and stick it in there?
Yeah, I guess so.
That's interesting.
It's a beautifully made instrument. The wood on it is gorgeous. The bracing in it is like nothing I've seen. It's really, really nice.
So where were you when you went over there?
We spent a little less than a week in Oahu, and then a little more than a week in Maui. So it was 2 weeks total, and just doing touristy kind of stuff. It was a lot of fun.
Was that over the holidays? Completely?
Yes, it was. We left the day after Christmas and just came back the other night.
So, yeah, you got your, well, not like we had snow here, but.
Yeah, it was a lot colder when we got back.
I bet it was, yeah. Although it feels like this year like we're going to have spring in February.
Oh, wouldn't that be wonderful?
It would be nice, yeah. All right, Michelle Canning's here. Maybe we can get her to play another one for us.
Absolutely. How about another Jimmy Martin song?
Sure.
Waters flow. It's been so long, you're insane, but your love still lingers on. Don't forget me, little darling, or the first name's gone.
Side of the mountain. Interesting, a little bit there at the end. I wasn't expecting that part.
Yeah, I kind of dabble back and forth. Sometimes I'll do the Egyptian theme, and other times I'll do the Flintstones.
That's awesome. Keep them guessing. So, as far as bluegrass music in general, who are your favorites?
Oh man, that's hard to say. Yeah, there's so many that I love.
We got to say Jimmy Martin at this point.
Jimmy Martin is definitely one of them. I remember when I was pretty young, and I had gone to this jam that they had in Groton, Massachusetts, and I was playing, and I did a Jimmy Martin song, and this guy looked over at me and said, "How on earth do you know Jimmy Martin?" but he's definitely one of my favorites. I'm also a big fan of Rhonda Vincent, of course. We talked about her earlier, and Southern Rail as well. We've been talking about more recently, I guess. I'm a big fan of Balsam Range and you know, those kind of style bands as well. I listen to a lot of country music from about the 90s and backwards. And so I'm a huge Loretta Lynn fan.
Well, there is no country music 90s and forwards.
That's true. That's, yeah.
I don't know what that stuff is they're playing nowadays, but it's not country music.
but yeah, I'm a big fan of Loretta Lynn. And
Yes, my favorite right there.
Yeah, she's one of the best. And Pam Tillis and Lori Morgan and Buck Owens. I just finished Buck Owens' autobiography, and I might go back and read it again. It was good.
Right, yeah.
But all that style of music, I listen to a lot of country music when I'm kind of just listening on my own.
Yeah, I was never really into that stuff when I was younger, but now I'm listening to a lot of the 50s and 60s country stuff.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, absolutely.
But I've always been into Loretta Lynn because when I was a kid, you know, the movie came out and stuff. So.
Who's not into Loretta Lynn?
Right. I mean.
Yeah. I saw her at Renfro Valley last year, and she had something wrong with her knee. She had to sit down while she sang. But, man, she put on a show, and if you closed your eyes, you would have thought it was her in that time era. And you couldn't not hear any aging in her voice whatsoever. It was beautiful.
I've never seen her play live.
It's a fantastic experience.
Excellent. Well, folks, Michelle Canning's here, and she's got that banjo with her, and we're playing all kinds of fun stuff for you. So do you want to play another one?
Sure. Well, since we're talking about Loretta Lynn.
Sure.
How about we do one of the few songs that she ever did that had a banjo on it? Blue Kentucky Girl.
All right, sure.
Shining in your world.
Yeah.
Thank you.
A little Loretta Lynn moment. Excellent. Yeah. Michelle Canning live here in the studio, folks. All right. So, what do you got next for us? What do you want to talk about? Is there anything else we talked about?
We could talk about writing, songwriting.
Sure.
It's a whole lot of fun, and I've been doing it for a long time, but just this semester, this past semester that I just got out of, we did a songwriting course at the Kentucky Center for Traditional Music, and Ruth McLean was the teacher, and it was fantastic. Every week we were writing at least one song, usually maybe two, and a couple of times even three, and it was so much fun, and each class, we got to play our songs for each other and comment on each other's songs. We got to do co-writing, which was so much fun, and it's something I love to do, and it allows me to kind of take my creativity in a whole new direction.
So you're starting to collect songs that you've written, getting all excited to record them.
Yeah, we're actually working right now. The Kentucky Center for Traditional Music is working on putting out an album of all original songs that students have written, and so we've got six of them recorded, and of the six, one of them is mine, and we're hoping to record six more next semester, and we'll choose which ones we decide to do at the beginning of next semester. But it's been so much fun, and, you know, I can write bluegrass tunes, and then I can go write some country tunes, and then I can go write some kind of doo-wop-y style pop tunes, and it's so much fun just being able to kind of have that freedom to do what I want.
So, overall, how many songs would you say you've written at this point?
Oh, man, that's hard to say. Over the course of the semester, I probably wrote about maybe 50 songs, and then I had already been writing before that as well, so a lot.
So there's no way you're going to remember all of those with that
many. Probably not. I've got a folder full of songs I've written. Every now and again, I'll go through it, and I'll be like, I don't remember this, but those are good lyrics, and then I'll go work on it again.
Right. So the ones you decide to play with the band or out live, do you find it really helps to take them out on tour and play them for a year or so before you actually record them?
You get a feel for what people like that way. The first thing I do before I ever decide to play it with the band is kind of run it by some close friends and family that, you know, can ease me in slowly if it's a bad song, but you know, run it by them and
they'll be bluntly honest, right?
That's right. Yeah. See what they think, and then that way, you know, I don't want to play it for people and they're like, oh, it's a nice song, when, you know, they're being polite. So you know, I kind of run it by them, and once I get that kind of validation it's a good song, I'll start playing it for the band and see what they think. And you know, if I slowly let more and more people hear it and see how people like it, and when I kind of feel like, okay, this song is ready, I've changed any changes that people might have suggested, or I've done whatever I want to do with it, then I'll go take it out on the road and see the audience response, because in the end, that's who matters. You want to play for your audience. And,
right.
And so far, it's been good luck so far. I haven't had one that people haven't really liked, so that's good. And you know, then I play it out on the road and hope to record it later.
I've met so many people who have written songs and sort of rushed them onto a CD.
Right.
And then, you know, two or three years later, they're kicking themselves, wishing they'd played it out, because, you know, the song evolved and turns into something entirely different.
The title track of this album, The Flower and the Serpent, was a song I had written, and I thought the song was completely finished. I liked it just how it was, and I played for my parents, and they liked it, and then I went and played it for some of my teachers, and Raymond McLean loved the song. But there was one word he didn't like, and I couldn't figure out why he didn't like that word. And to be honest, I don't even remember what it is anymore. But we ended up changing it, and the song just became so much better with this new word. And it was pretty amazing how that can happen. And I'm glad we did that before I recorded it.
Well, that's good, yeah. Yeah, excellent. Well, want to play another one from the CD, maybe? Or
sure. This is a song. It's called The Flower and the Serpent. And it's a whole lot of fun, and it's one you got to really pay attention to the words, because it's pretty deep, and it can mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people, but I think it's something everyone can relate to.
All right. Michelle Canning.
Running through the wild, wind is brushing through my hair. I'm running from your memory till I see you standing there. And suddenly I'm galloping straight into glass wall comes between us. And she steps up and steals your heart. The jungle's mighty wild, yet the flowers, they still bloom. But despite their pretty petals, they will turn your life to gloom. I was lured in by your beauty till the poison reached my veins. Then I turn and I keep running till I see you there again. And oh, what a crazy dream I'm in. I can't run fast enough from you, yet I love you now and then. And oh, you look so pretty till the poison strikes again. See you standing with her, see a flower with a serpent. Creatures' wicked eyes. They all know what's going on, but they don't comfort, they just spy. And they turn their heads away as the poison does its work. For they all knew but didn't tell me round the flower serpent lurks. And oh, what a crazy dream I'm in. I can't run fast enough from you, yet I love you now and strikes again. When I see you standing with her, see a flower with a serpent. Running through the garden, wind is rushing through my hair. I'm running from your memory till I see you standing there. And suddenly serpent tempts you with fresh fruit to eat. And as you taste her lips, the poison burns, and I fall down at your feet.
All right, the flower and the serpent. Nice stuff there.
Thank you.
And that is the title track from the CD, by the way. And we already talked about where you can get the CD. We should probably tell them again.
Sure, you can purchase the album on michellecanning.net, N-E-T. Don't go to .com, you'll get someone else. But michellecanning.net. You can also get it on CD Baby or iTunes, and come to one of our shows, and we'd love to sell you one there as well.
Awesome. Yeah, I always wondered about people who have the same name. You know, somebody has .net, somebody has .com.
That's right.
And they're both musicians.
Yeah.
You know, somebody with a really common name, perhaps.
And, yep. If you go to michellecanning.com, you get a lady who does exercise programs.
There you go. So. Sweating to the oldies.
That's right.
It's actually the same Michelle. She just doesn't want you to know. It's her Richard Simmons tribute webpage.
That's right. Now everybody's going to be going to michellecanning.com.
Now you're just going to have to see it for yourself. That's right.
That's right.
All right, well, let's see. Maybe we can get another one in before we take our next break.
Absolutely.
Do you want to play one?
This is another song I wrote, and I actually wrote it. It's a fictional story about a true character, and it's about one of my best friends, and she was a little upset when I sang it for her because I killed her off in the end.
Oh,
but
no.
But she's still alive and kicking and still one of my best friends. So this is called Becky's Perfect Pastries. Becky's Perfect Pastries, but it's the friends that make it good. Whenever he needed a friend along the way, Becky was there with a smile every day. And everybody asked what her ingredients are. She said a little bit of ashes from love's perfect fire. And when you're
at Mickey's Perfect Pastry, sweets a day and friends for life. Soon Mr. Walmart and Miss Kroger came to town. They quickly tore Miss Becky to the ground, but she still kept a smile in her big old heart each day. No one can say our town's ever the same. When you're down and you needed a friend, she was there to help you till the end. A smile in her heart, you could see it in her eyes. At Becky's Perfect Pastry, sweets a day and friends for life. When I first got the message that Becky had died, the first thing that I did was sit down and cry. But the preacher made a point and said she's smiling on us still, as he pointed a finger out the windowsill where a small sign still stood that read Becky's Perfect Pastries. But it's the friends that make it good. And when you're down and you needed a friend, she was there to help you till the end.
Excellent.
Thank you.
That's a good song.
Thank you very much.
Very well-written song there.
Thank you.
That could either be about just the business or a person, either way.
Exactly.
Sort of look at it, you know.
Yeah, and Becky, the real-life Becky, is a really great baker, but she doesn't own a store. But she's a great baker and an amazing person, and so it's kind of the whole song and the idea of the store is about her character as a person.
That's a good one. Yeah,
Thank you.
Michelle Canning's here live in the studio with us, folks. We're going to take another quick break for station identification, but we'll be right back after this. Ah, that was great, huh? Yeah, we still got plenty more to come, so don't go anywhere. I just wanted to take a moment to thank all those folks tuned in all over the country and all over the world. We got folks tuned in to WSCS right here in New London, New Hampshire, where we're broadcasting from. WRAQ in Angelica, New York. WYAP in Clay, West Virginia. We've got Neopa Community Radio in Canton, Ohio. KONR, Out North Radio in Anchorage, Alaska. KXCR down there on the coast in Florence, Oregon. KGIG in Modesto, California. Pinecone Radio in Pine Mountain Club, California. And all of our online friends as well. The Global Voice, Boston Free Radio, Shout Radio, Sword Radio, Bumps Radio, and Homelands Radio. All right, we'll be right back after this.